have eyes in the back of my head sometimes. This morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 10, about Jesus being our good shepherd. And it's a wonderful passage of scripture and so much to glean from it. I'd ask Joe if he'd do a song this morning, and before he does, I want to read a background passage of scripture for John chapter 10, and it's one that you know very well. It's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Love that passage. So much to it. I want to share one more verse, and that's what had me thinking about this song that Joe's about to do. You know, sometimes you'll see pictures of a shepherd with a lamb around his neck. And the reason that he'll have the lamb around his neck is because some lambs are prone to wander. And when they wander, they get in trouble with things like wolves and other animals. And if they wander too much, the shepherd will just say, okay, you get to be with me. Sometimes, in extreme cases, a shepherd will actually break a lamb's leg. So it has to be dependent upon him. And sometimes we go through seasons of life where God, we might think it's harsh sometimes, but he allows things to happen so we can be close to him. Many years ago, Rich Mullins, and I don't know how many of you remember Rich Mullins, but he was a gifted singer-songwriter, known for a couple of popular songs that Amy Grant did, but he was a wonderful, very honest, transparent lyricist, and he died far too young. But he wrote a song called Hold Me, Jesus. Kathy, we have a verse that I was reading in 1 John. If we could put that up, the one in John, 1 John 5. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. And that so spoke to me of Jesus as the shepherd, that he holds us. Think a lot of times we want to be strong and we want to be in control, but sometimes we just need Jesus to hold us. Lord, we do ask. We see your glory at times, but there are seasons where we need to be held, and we need to see you as our Prince of Peace. We need to see you as our shepherd. Do that in our hearts and our souls today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to cover two of the I am statements of Jesus. I am statements are powerful. Jesus just comes right out in John's gospel and says, this is who I am. There's no question mark. He makes about 10 different statements of this is who I am. So let's just hearken back to the Old Testament, the burning bush talking to Moses, and Moses says, so you want me to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go? Why? Because I was talking to some bush that was on fire? He's going to think I'm crazy. Who should I say sent me? And the Lord God says, I am who I am. He is the God of being. He's not the great I was. He's not the great I will be. He is the God of now. He is always in the present. But he is the God of being. So now, this part of the sermon, I'm thinking, tonight my wife will say to me, that was too deep. You're too deep sometimes, Paul. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not deep at all, but I got some people fooled. That's all. Just like Bob Dylan. So I got this quote. I think you might like it. And it comes from, I don't think the guy's a Christian, but just the whole concept of being and being aware. Conscious experience is at once the most familiar thing in the world and the most mysterious. We don't think about it that much, that we can reflect, that we can remember, all these different things. There is nothing we know about more directly than consciousness, but it is far from clear how to reconcile it with everything else we know. Why does it exist? What does it do? How could it possibly arise from lumpy gray matter? David Chalmers is the person who said it. I read it in a book by Warner Wallace. Science cannot explain being. You can try to differentiate between the brain and the mind. The brain is that gray matter. But most of us would say we're something more than that gray matter. Let me try to illustrate. It's not easy. But picture a car. Picture a car in your mind. Picture any car, but one you like, one you think is cool. There's no price limit on it. You can picture a really expensive car. It could be $250,000. Now, right now, you're thinking probably color. I don't know what else you're thinking. How many of you are thinking of a two-door? How many of you are thinking of a four-door? Okay. How many of you are thinking of an expensive car? Where's Thelma? Is Thelma here? Oh, she is back with the kids. I'm thinking she's thinking of a purple car. Okay. She has a really cool purple car. I would venture to say, other than the fact that I just mentioned Thelma's car, prior to that, none of you were thinking of Thelma's car, or maybe some of you were coveting her car in your mind. But I would think that each and every one of you were thinking of something different. And let me just simplify it. Someday when you die, if medical science says, Candy Blank was so brilliant, we want to study her brain, okay? She's saying no, but not. Don't worry, you won't be alive. So they're going to study the gray matter. And no matter how much they study, they will not find an image of that car. They can't. We have no way to figure out what's in there. And yet it's very real to us. Did you have a car in mind? What was it? A purple Corvette. Okay. I didn't lead you with that. You already were thinking purple?
Yeah.
All right. Purple Corvette. But we wouldn't know that unless she told us. Why? Because we have these boundaries, this skull, and you can't just figure it out. Now, if we had a picture, now, things like Google and Facebook and Alexa, they think they can read our minds. And sometimes they come pretty close, and it is kind of scary. But if we put an image of a purple car, purple Corvette, up on the screen, years from now, theoretically, you could go back to that computer if you didn't delete it, and it would be there. There'd be a record of it. The computer is much more like a brain, but you have something far beyond that, and it's a mind which gives us consciousness, gives us awareness. It's fascinating stuff. If you're interested in more, look up the word ontology. It's the study of being. We, as Christ followers, can explain it because the mind is part of our soul, the part of us that lives on forever. That right now, because you will live on forever, not to get too deep with this, but at some point, 1,000 years from now, in eternity, she'll still remember, oh yeah, that purple Corvette. Who knows, maybe you'll get one in heaven. I don't know how heaven works, the street of gold and all that stuff. God is the great I am. He's the God of being, and when he breathed life into us, we became living beings. Not living doings, living beings. Okay, I'm going to move on from the deep stuff to the shepherd. Okay. She's not saying anything. So, Jesus, who are you? Well, he answers for us, and he's going to give us two of those statements today. Let's take a look at John chapter 10, starting with verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So we're going to break this down as we go through. It's really pretty simple, though, that if you're one of Jesus' sheep, you hear him. See, I think Brant John heard Jesus this week and knew that he needed to say something to this woman, and so he did. He said it to Amber. So we hear his voice, and we come to him. Folks, we've got a whole lot of different voices that are clamoring for our attention, don't we? I mean, how often do you have peace and quiet? We had some of the grandkids over, and future grand child, future step-grandchild. Never mind. But anyway, we had grandkids over. And when they're down in the grandkids' room downstairs, there can only be two of them, but there's like a tornado in the room, and it's just nonstop noise. And then they turn on the TV, there's more noise. And then Ellie came into the back room where Heidi and I were, and she just said, "It's so quiet here." It's like, yes, yes it is, and it's very nice. Someday you'll come to appreciate quiet. But we have so much noise. Can you hear the voice of Jesus? He wants you to. And the shepherd walks ahead, and all we have to do is follow. It's not hard, but we have to make choices to do that. Let's read on in the passage. He calls his own sheep by name. Let me say about that. God knows your name. He cares about you. When you start looking at the cosmos and how huge the universe is, and people start thinking, I cannot have any significance in my life. Who could I possibly be of worth and value? But it says God knows you, and he cares. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of him, and they follow him because they know his voice. And I've covered this before, that you could have four flocks come together, four shepherds. They spend the night in the sheepfold. The next morning, they don't have to sort them out. They just stand four different places, and they just start talking. And the sheep, they know who their shepherd is. They won't go to another shepherd. They go to their shepherd because he takes care of them. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Verse 6. Now, some of you are like, preacher, that might make sense to you, but not so much to me. So what does it say here? I think it's funny. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. They're like, what about a gate and a sheepfold and what's... So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate. So there's the first I am statement. I am the gate for the sheep, which means we go through Jesus to get to God. That reminds us a lot from John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Have you ever quoted that to somebody and they say, you Christians are so exclusive and you exclude all these people and you think you're the only ones that are right. It's like, no, no. I'm just quoting Jesus, and he thinks he's right. You've got to figure out whether he is or not, because either he is or he isn't. It's binary. It's a yes or a no. It's not a maybe. Jesus did not leave a whole lot of maybe ground for us. The other thing is that the gospel is the most inclusive. If Jesus is who he says he is, and he's making some audacious claims here, but is he really who he says he is? And this whole thing of just following the shepherd, he provides the direction. Do all of us know the direction we should take in our life? No, sometimes we're confused. To quote Rich Mullins, sometimes my life don't make sense at all. I can't figure it out. Sometimes looking back, it makes sense. But Jesus wants to guide us, the shepherd does. And sometimes I'm not that wise, but the shepherd has wisdom. And you know, we need to be very careful not to just trust everybody. Isn't that what we teach our children? Be very, very careful with strangers. Don't just trust anybody. I was really impressed coming out of the health club the other day. There were some cars that were moving in the lot. Came down behind this family with these young boys. And the young boy just started running to the car. Mom's like, you did not look both ways. She didn't just say you didn't look both ways. She said, you're going to come back and do it again. Look both ways and then go. I wanted to applaud, but I didn't want to get involved with family business there. But that's something that little boy is going to remember. My goodness, I still remember it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I have something over here. Almost forgot this. It's pretty radical stuff. Let's read on in here. So they didn't understand him, so he tells them the truth, I am the gate. And he says, all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. In other words, there are certain people that there is this pantheon of gods. And I've done some study just this past couple weeks about Baal worship and all these gods that they were worshiping. They were not like Christianity. They were not like Judaism. In Baal worship, and same thing with Molech and the Asherah poles, and there's one other. But they're all basically different versions of the same thing. And we talked about it a little bit Tuesday morning. Their worship caused them to do one of the most unthinkable things. As a matter of fact, the prophet Jeremiah quotes God as saying that they did evil that I could never have imagined, which is obviously hyperbole because God could imagine anything. But what did they do? They sacrificed their children to Molech and to Baal. I could get more graphic with it, but I don't want to. And we might say, well, that kind of stuff, that's not around anymore. Well, it was the high priests of these religions that did it, and so people respected them. I want to mention something, because I came across some quotes that were extremely disconcerting. Let me say this, preface it by saying this. For those of you who know me, you know that I'm not a judgmental person. You also know that there's grace and mercy for each person. And so we just need to grab a hold of it. And so I want to mention something about abortion this morning. Because I think that if someone would have told us many years ago that America would not only allow it, but would cause the government to pay for it with our tax dollars, I think we would be shocked by that. But it's become rather common, unfortunately. So, and let me say this too. You don't have to agree with my position on being pro-life. You don't, to be a part of this church. But I read a few quotes from a woman by the name of Jeanette Paris. And she wrote these things in the 90s and also in 2007. She said, "It is not immoral to choose abortion. It is simply another kind of morality, a pagan one." She says, "Our culture needs new rituals as well as laws to restore abortion to its sacred dimension." And finally, "Abortion is a sacrifice to Artemis, one of these ancient gods. Abortion is a sacrament for the gift of life to remain pure." I was stunned to read those quotes. Stunned. It's going back to those same ancient gods, pagan gods. I don't even know how to put it into words for them. I'm going to continue with the passage. Jesus said, "All who came before me were thieves and robbers." And he's going to say something else about them in a moment. "But the true sheep did not listen to them." We could chronicle it with so many different missionaries around the world that they show up places and they say, "This Jesus you're talking about, he's the one we hoped for. We hoped that there was a God. We didn't know how to make atonement. We didn't know how to be right with God. We always felt something was wrong. We felt distant. We felt dead," whatever it was. But this Jesus makes us alive, and he brings grace and forgiveness and life. Okay, verse 9. "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures." I love in Psalm 23 where it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures, beside quiet waters." I was just talking to somebody about Sedona, Arizona, and just north of there, you've got Oak Creek Canyon. If you've ever been through there, it's like a miniature Grand Canyon with the red rocks and these cottonwood trees and the water flowing and the blue skies. It is just heavenly. You can just sit down there and just soak it in all day. I love that it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Remember when you were a kid and they made you take a nap? How many of you would like your boss to come in tomorrow? "Take a nap." "Yes, sir. All right. Sounds good." But Jesus, and then it goes on, he said, "He restores my soul." I've said that to junior hires. How many of you would like God to restore your soul today? And I see the look on their face. They're like, "That sounds awesome." I can say it to 50, 60, 70, 80-year-olds, and you know what? We say the same thing. "That's awesome. Lord, restore my soul." But not everyone comes for the same reason. He says here, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Not all gods are created equal. And that was the point that I was making with the quotes, especially referring to Artemis. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. It's been said that Satan's the director on a cruise ship. And on his ship, he says, "You can do anything you want to do." And everyone's like, "He's so nice." drinks around the house. You can have all the drugs you want. You can have all the sex you want. You can do anything that you want to do on his ship. No rules. It's fun. It's free. The only thing he doesn't tell you is his ship is going down. And you're going down with him. But Jesus has come. And so I know a lot of us would say, you know the line that's coming. That he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Right? Or that we might have life and have it to the full. Right? We recognize those are different versions of Scripture. This is the New Living Translation. And it says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Who doesn't want a rich and satisfying life? How do you get? You follow the shepherd. It's not a selfish lifestyle. I love the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You won't find it in the Gospels. I believe it's quoted. It's either in Acts or in 1 Corinthians. Paul quotes Jesus as saying that. More blessed to give than to receive. I mentioned this at the men's study the other night. How many of you on Christmas morning, let me see, I'm taking a look around the room. I think we're all old enough to, So on Christmas morning, are you like, I cannot wait to open my gifts. I can't wait to open my gifts. Actually, nobody's laughing, so some of you are like, yeah, that's me, that's me. How many of us are like, I can't wait till other people open the gifts that I have for them because I think they're really going to like it? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you hit the mark with a gift, it's awesome. When somebody says, how did you know? When I was a kid, when I was in high school, all I wanted was music. I wanted albums, vinyl, okay? Double albums. But in the bathroom that all my siblings, we all use the same bathroom, I made a list of all the records that I wanted. It was amazing. I got what I wanted. It worked. It was very effective. No guesswork there. We have a spiritual enemy who wants to bring about destruction. But we have a shepherd who wants to give us a rich, abundant, satisfying life. Not just in heaven. Yes, we'll have it there, and maybe we'll have our purple Corvette in heaven. But he wants to give us a rich and satisfying life now. And so often, that happens when we give, when we volunteer, when we do things we don't have to do, when we follow the example of Jesus. Jesus came to give, not to take. Let's take a look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Wow. See, that's Christian leadership. The term that is equivalent with leadership in the kingdom of God is servanthood. I remember, I'm trying to remember who said it. I don't remember for sure, but somebody said that we were on a mission trip and they said that they wanted to be a team leader sometime. I said, why? So I can boss people around. I said, really? Yeah, that's Christian leadership, so you can boss people around. If you have worked with me, if you've been married to me, so anybody who's worked for me or anybody who's been married to me, I don't believe that I've ever, I rarely ever tell anybody to do something. I ask people to do things. And also, with Christian leadership, we should be willing to model it. But even if it means sacrifice, that's what Jesus modeled for us, that he was willing to give sacrificially. Okay. Most parents give so many things sacrificially. Do children recognize it growing up? Nope. You know, there are so many things I didn't appreciate about my parents until I had to start paying the bills they had been paying all those years. And at first, it wasn't met with gratitude. It was like, what? I got to pay this? And as the years go by, I appreciate my mother and father more and more. I think about it from time to time that they paid for 12 years of private school for me. And this is how it turned out. I don't know if their investment was worth it or not. But they paid for 12 years of private school for me. And for my brother Rick, and for my brother John, for my sister Karen. She actually only got 10. She went to public school for a couple years. And my brother Jim. The million and one sacrifices that they made. So that's the picture that Jesus is giving here. That's the picture he's giving. He says, a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. So the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. So let's talk about that a little bit. The term, I think, in the King James was a hireling. If the sheep aren't you, if they're not your own sheep, it's like, hasta la vista, baby, I'm out of here. My brother-in-law, Bill, picked up a new job many, many years ago. He was a young guy, probably in his 20s, and he got a job as an assistant chef at a diner. And they had their grand opening this one day. He's the assistant chef. So he comes in that morning. This is Bill. We called him Uncle Bill, Wild Willie, a lot of other things. He was a character. He shows up that day, and the owner says, I'm so glad you're here because the chef, he quit this morning. So it's all yours. And Bill said, no, it's not. It's all yours. I'm out of here too. I'm not doing it. And I'm sure, and I always felt bad for that owner because I'm sure he was slaving in the kitchen trying to do 16 things at one time. Why did Bill leave? Because it wasn't his. Why did the owner stay? Because it was. See, in ministry, it can't be about money. I love what Peter says. Shepherds, Scripture makes it clear that we should take care of those who minister in spiritual areas. But a shepherd should never be greedy for gain. Peter is the one who was the shepherd of the early church. And this passage refers to Jesus as the good shepherd. Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. But what does Peter call Jesus? The great shepherd. The man who was the shepherd of the first century church. Oh, as the years went by, he recognized who Jesus really was. Jesus was the great shepherd. And he's the one who came not to take, but to give. He's the one who showed us how to serve. I remember when I think of things like shepherding, I had a young intern in the city in the late 90s and into 2000, the early 2000s. He came from Missouri. He was a character, good character. He went to go see my buddy Todd, a chiropractor, because he was having some problems with his back. He says, so are you active? He says, oh, yeah, I am. What do you do? I play volleyball and basketball. So Todd's writing it down. And then Joey says, and bull riding. And Todd laughed, and Joey looked at him. Why are you laughing? He said, you really do ride bulls? He said, yes, yeah, that's important. I'm going to write that down too. I think when you go see the chiropractor, if you're a bull rider, you should mention that. But he lived in a building in Gold Coast with his wife. She was a flight attendant for United. There were more people by far in his building than there were in his hometown. And he told me, there's more people in my building than there are in my hometown. And he's like, Pastor Paul, I can't sleep at night because there's all these noises all night long. I mean, he's used to Missouri. Just you might hear a cow in the middle of the night, but that's it. Yeah, Tri-Division and State or something like that. It's going to be a little bit louder. Well, anyway, I pastored in Lincoln Park, and I always knew someday if I left, I would hope Joey would have come in because he'd gone to pastor in Niles. And then when the day finally came for me to leave, I remember contacting him, and he prayed about it. And I'll never forget what he said when he got back with me. He said, all I can see are people's faces, the people in Niles, not the people in Lincoln Park. He couldn't leave the people in Niles just to come back to something that was more comfortable, probably something more promising. That's when I knew Joey was a shepherd. He didn't want to just leave the flock because he got a better offer. Folks, I've seen it for a long time in the church and where people go from one church to another, getting a better portfolio, more money, whatever the case might be. And I've purposed to never be a hireling, to never be a person who just bounced around and tried to get a better portfolio. I just don't think that's the way it ought to be done. There's a difference between a preacher and a shepherd. Because some people are great preachers. They don't even know who the sheep are. And there's other people that they're pretty good preachers. Oh, but they know who the flock is. They know who their flock is. And you can never do it as well as Jesus does it, but we need to purpose because I don't think God wants any of us to just be preachers. We're supposed to be shepherds too. I don't know if there's anybody here who's planning on pastoring a church in the future. I'm not trying to single out people on the front row today or anything like that. But I'm just saying. Yeah, I've got my wife over here and we've got Casey over here. I've got special things for both of you. So let's get back to the passage. The hired hand runs away, hasta la vista, baby, because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Let me say something else. And when God calls you to something, it's a good thing when you know you're called to something. And there's no question in my life. I know that I know that I know what I've heard God say to me. And it was many, many years ago. It has simplified my life because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. So I know it's not go do that because this is what he called me to do. And so that's a great thing to know that. But the other part is that if you're called to something, then you know that even if everything's going wrong, it's like, but God, you called me here, so it's going to be okay. And there's so many examples in Scripture where Paul got called someplace, and then, oh my goodness, there's just havoc. Well, oh, but God, that's why you called me here. So I would know that even though when the times get tough, that you're going to walk through this with me. Yeah, it's good. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. He tells us again, I know my own sheep, and they know me. He is relational. That's what I was saying at the beginning. Jesus knows you, he loves you, and he wants to get to know you better. And yeah, we'll have all of eternity, but he wants to get to know you better now. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Wow. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. I want to talk about that one flock, one shepherd, in just a moment. But God has other flocks or other sheep. So some people think, well, that's the Gentiles. It wasn't just the Jews. He was going to reach out to the Gentiles, and that's true. But, you know, as time has gone by, people interpret that a little bit differently. Does it mean that maybe there's other planets? Where there's people on other planets? How many of you remember Larry Norman? I don't think too many of you do. He was the inventor of Christian rock and roll. He had some great, great stuff. There's a song by the title of UFO, Unidentified Flying Object, referring to Jesus returning for the church. But it asks the question in the song, or it states it, and if there's life on other planets, I'm sure that he must know. And he's been there once already and has died to save their souls. I don't think if there's life on other planets, the way some scientists talk about it, like, God will be shocked today because we found life in another universe. I don't think God's shocked by these things. He's not surprised by any of these things. What's that to say? That he's inclusive. And there are some people, they want to hear the voice of Jesus. Folks, you had a lot of other choices this morning. You could have gone a lot of different places. Most of you are not here because your parents made you come here this morning. A couple of you are like, I beg to differ. Okay, but it's beside the point. Most of you are here because you want to be here. I think you're here because you want to hear from Jesus. And Jesus wants to communicate with us. I love the fact that Jesus loves us. He loves us sacrificially. Your Heavenly Father loves you sacrificially in a selfish world. In a selfish world, he invites us to love the same way. So much so that this 18-year-old young man would do what he did in the witness stand the other day. Let's read on. One flock, one shepherd, one day. I get a kick out of it. First Baptist Church of Westmont. Second Baptist Church. Fourth Baptist Church. Someday it'll just be one church. A friend of mine sent something. This person had gone to an Orthodox church out in California. And she sent it to me because they have this thing where, like, you've got the Orthodox Church with the Catholic Church, and then the Catholics branched this way, and it's the Orthodox Church that has remained true, and then Protestantism went this way, but still. And they basically are saying, we are the one true church. Everybody else has veered off course. I mean, we might think that sometimes. I don't think that way anymore at all. We're just trying to follow Jesus the best that we can. One day, there's going to be only one church. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. My brother Jim, before he gave his life to Christ, was a very strict Orthodox Jew. And what he said he didn't like about Jesus is that Jesus was a victim. And I told him, I said, Jesus was not a victim, and he never played the victim. He laid down his life, and then he took it back up again. And that's what Jesus makes clear here. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and I also to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. Now, if you take seriously what he's saying, as the people that were there did, these are some incredible claims. The people thought so too. Let's read on. When he said these things, the people were again divided in their opinions about him. Some said, he's demon-possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to a man like that? Others said, he doesn't sound like a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? We studied John 10, 9 last week, 10 this week. Last week, he opened the eyes of a blind man. So these people are like, we've got to figure out who Jesus is. And here's the beauty and maybe the difficult part, is we each get to figure out for ourselves who Jesus is. Each of us get to make that choice. Let me throw in one other idea with this whole shepherd thing and how it works. So Jesus is the shepherd, and he's leading this way, and the flock's going this way. And our eyes are supposed to be upon him because he has everything that we need. But some of us kind of move along with the church crowd. We're always kind of looking the other way. I'm going this way, but I'm looking over here. Whoa, this is pretty cool over here. But then you have some other sheep kind of bump you or whatever. And then they had these sheep dogs too, these dogs that would like nip at their heels, okay, and keep them in line. That's the law. That's what the law does. But we don't need the law anymore, but if we're trying to get outside the flock, well, maybe we do. But all we need to do is follow Jesus. I know it sounds simple. In some ways it is, and obviously in some ways it's very challenging. So the benefits of following the great shepherd, I'm just going to list some. And then we'll wrap up. Protection. His rod, his staff to keep the wolves away, gives us protection from spiritual evil. Why? Because the shepherd is bigger, wiser, and stronger than anything that can come against you. You stay with the shepherd, you are good. You get away from the shepherd, well, that's a whole other story. Because when he called us sheep, it wasn't a compliment. I mean, how many sports franchises are, they're not the Los Angeles Rams, okay? They're the Rams. There's no team that's the Chicago Sheep will wander out onto the field today looking for green pasture. No, it doesn't work that way. Sheep are not these ferocious animals. They need someone to protect them. They need someone to feed them. They need someone bigger, wiser, stronger. And he leads us into a rich and satisfying life that we can become givers, not takers. Provision, food, water, safety, peace. You know, if you know Christ, you have a peace that a lot of times just passes understanding. You're just like, we're going to get through this. Why? Because I got this shepherd leading me. He's going to get me to the promised land. I don't know exactly how. You talk about provision, food. Did a wedding this weekend. Friday night, let's go to Papa Passero's. We're going to have all the pizza we can eat. Oh, you're the pastor, so we'll box up more so you can take it home. It's like, okay, I'll just put it in the fridge, and then I'll take it out and eat some more, okay? Then last night, they had Uncle Bub's, all the Uncle Bub's you could eat, and then all these containers so you can take it home. We're going to be in Uncle Bub's for quite a while. I'm going to be on the treadmill today. We live in a land where I pray not to eat too much when I thank God for the food that I have. God has provided for us. Direction. Folks, we've got millions of choices, and Jesus says, let's go in this one direction. Follow me. I know that doesn't answer where you're supposed to go to school, where you're supposed to, who you're supposed to marry. I don't think the kids would mind this. I love this story. I did the wedding for Debbie Spirek and her husband now, Mike. And they were looking for love, not necessarily in all the wrong places, but they couldn't find love. So they did what most people do today. They went to the World Wide Web. And they searched to the ends of the earth to see if they could find someone that they could love for the rest of their lives. And they did. Turns out they live a block and a half from each other. They can see each other's homes from the alley. All he had to do was just go out on his back porch and just say, Juliet, and I think he would have found her. God can guide you. Who needs direction today? Follow the shepherd. Relationship. You matter to him. How else, how more simply can we put it? And you know, he talks about the evil one has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. We live in a world where people want to fleece you. Yeah, pun intended. They want to take everything they can from you. And Jesus says, I want to give you absolutely everything you need and more. Bottom line, sheep need a shepherd. Do you have one? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being our good shepherd, for being the great shepherd. You shepherd our souls. Sometimes it's counterintuitive. You lead us in ways we wouldn't expect. Father, if there's anybody here today who would say, Jesus really hasn't been my shepherd, but I can't explain it. It's not just what the preacher said. This makes sense today. If you would reach out to him and say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my shepherd. I want to be a part of your flock. And that's the other beauty is we're not called alone. We have brothers and sisters. Do your work by your spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing our benediction.